those who are joining us online to watch today's message. Thank you for joining. We appreciate you being part of us. So next week, we'll go back to our prophecy series. Isn't it an appropriate season, if you will, to be looking at prophecy when we see so much going on in the world? So many things that just kind of come together and resonate with the prophecies that we have been studying. Maybe the first reminder that comes to mind with our Thanksgiving holiday is that this is the last holiday before Christmas. And starting from tomorrow, the pages on the calendar just seem to turn a little bit quicker. And we stop measuring things the normal way we measure time, and we turn to the time proven system of measuring time called how many days left till Christmas? 72, if you're inclined to be careful. The Thanksgiving holiday can also remind us that our Canadian Thanksgiving holiday has a rich Christian tradition. You know, that first Thanksgiving service was held in Canada with Martin Frobisher's crew way back in 1578. Wow, that's 400 years, give or take, of Thanksgiving services being held at one place or another in Canada. I know the weather's not all that amenable today, but I think it's probably a little better than it would be on Frobisher Bay. So, and everything gives thanks, and there's another opportunity. And then in January 31st of 1957, some of you may even remember that, our Thanksgiving holiday was established officially by Parliament as the second Monday in October. And so it's been a national holiday ever since for the sole purpose of giving thanks. Now, I think it's unfortunate that many Canadians would probably just see it as another holiday rather than one of special significance for the giving of thanks. And you know, one of the things that we Canadians can be thankful for is that we still have four holidays that are distinctly rooted in Christian faith. Given the tendency that we see around Christmas for people to say happy holidays rather than Merry Christmas, we're not really sure how long these holidays will retain their Christian identity, but we can do our part. But for now, anyway, we can be thankful for these four Christian holidays. And I would submit to you that, in their own way, all four of our Christian holidays are Thanksgiving holidays. First, obviously, given that this is Thanksgiving Sunday, we have our Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. And it's a broad holiday in perspective. We are encouraged to give thanks in everything. It's not just about spiritual blessings, but it's material blessings as well. That's what we are encouraged to do. And secondly, we have Christmas, a holiday that should, after all, challenge us to be thankful for the birth of our Savior, thankful for His willingness to come, thankful for His willingness to live among us, thankful that He was willing to be born in a stable, thankful that He was willing to live in humility, thankful that He was willing to adopt a peasant lifestyle. And we can be thankful that He challenges us to follow His example, a life of humility, a life of servanthood, and a life of love for His fellow man. And thirdly, we have Good Friday, a holiday that, among other things, should remind us to be thankful for the crucifixion and the cross. Now there's some paradox there, some oxymoron, is for we Christians in that statement, thankful for a cross and resurrection. Who else in our world could possibly be thankful for a crucifixion or be thankful for a cross involving the most horrible death known to mankind but we Christians? For though it may seem weird to many, we Christians should be thankful for the willingness of Jesus to allow his body to be broken. We need to be thankful that he allowed his blood to be shed. We need to be thankful that the blood that he allowed to be shed had and has and continues to have the ability to pay for our sin and release us from condemnation. We need to be thankful for the old song that we're going to sing before too long that says that the blood will never lose its power. Thankful that it still reaches to the highest mountain. Thankful that it flows to the lowest valley. Thankful that it gives us strength from day to day. Thankful that it will never lose its power. So today on this Communion Sunday, we are encouraged to take time to be deliberate about our thanksgiving for the cross. And then the next of our four holidays is Easter, a holiday that reminds us of the awesome resurrecting power of God. We need to be thankful for the resurrection of Jesus that reminds us that there's even a greater resurrection coming. We need to be thankful for the promise of new, changed, incorruptible bodies that will be ours eternally. Thankful for the promise that we will be with him forever. So these four Christian holidays remind us of the complete story. The Lord of glory that was willing to come. The Lamb of God who was willing to be punished and die for our sins. The resurrected and ascending Christ, leaving us with the promise and picture of our flight to glory yet to come. I had planned to show some pictures of the Hootenanny, and there's some interesting pictures there. Thankful that Linda was taking a few pictures to remind us of that outreach, our Hootenanny. Who's going to volunteer to stay behind and take pictures of our flight to glory? There may be no pictures of our flight to glory, because I think it'll be hard to find a volunteer. So there we have it, four national holidays that give us much to be thankful for. And while we may have many in our country who, yes, there are many, who struggle with finances and food, as a country we're considerably better than the vast majority of the world. We think of Haiti just a couple hundred miles south of Florida, and where times are not getting any better, and people are really struggling just to find enough to eat. Many countries in the world whose average daily wage is less than $2, and so we need to remember and be generous with these needs. Now, throughout Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people are repeatedly encouraged to be people who would be characterized or known by their thanksgiving. And that's, I think, is a challenging characteristic, that we believers would be known as thankful people. And our role, our challenge as believers is really quite challenging. First of all, Jesus challenges us to be known for our love one to another. And now we can add to that challenge, the challenge to be thankful people in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. So what are the influences that would impact whether or not we attain that goal of being thankful people that the Lord has set for us? Let's look for a few moments at an account of a miraculous healing from Luke chapter 17. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. An amazing healing miracle. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." To have leprosy in Old Testament days was a multifaceted, horrible condition to find oneself in. There was no real medical treatment in those days, and the management of the disease was simply stringent isolation. And if we were to think back over the COVID years and the isolation that many were involved with, we learned how terrible just isolation can be on people who are struggling. But people with that disease were rejected from social or family contact and even restricted from entering the city gates. Victims needed to announce loudly their condition so others wouldn't accidentally come into contact with them. Special clothes also served as a warning to others. So victims were isolated from loved ones, from neighbors and acquaintances. And the disease, of course, would eventually destroy various parts of the body. It could deaden the nerves completely, resulting in people not feeling pain, thus leading to further injury. I read about one modern doctor in our day and age who's quoted as saying, "The best gift I could give my patients is that of pain, which would prevent them from hurting themselves." Leprosy was often viewed as a punishment for sin. And so a leprous individual, while isolated from others, was often viewed by others as someone who was being punished by God. So that came as an additional bit of suffering from the horrible physical and isolation effects of the disease. And so their only hope was that the disease would abate, and when the skin cleared up, they would be able to go to the priest who would make a judgment as to whether or not the disease had now passed. You can imagine then how desperate these 10 lepers would have been for a healing, desperate for a resolution to this terrible disease. No wonder they cried out, "Master, have mercy on us." This account has some very intriguing points. First, there is the confrontation and communication between these 10 and the 10 hurting men and Jesus. And note that the location of this event is in the border region between Samaria and Galilee. We see here that Jesus is immediately compassionate. He understands their desperation, understands their need, and responds compassionately and so simply, just telling them, "Go check with the priest." It's interesting to think about that. Think about that in the context of those 10 lepers. "Jesus, what are you telling us to do? Like, we know that we are still afflicted with this leprosy disease. But imagine how their thoughts and how their feelings changed as they were obedient to the Lord, and as they began the journey to see the priest, they realized that they were indeed healed. And of course, Jesus tells them they have to go and see the priest because they will need his blessing before they can be reunited with their loved ones. Tear off the clothes. Stop yelling, leper, leper. And being able to hug and embrace their wife, their husband, their children, their loved ones. Each of them has been totally healed in a few moments. Their biggest prayer has been answered. Now one would think naturally that given the desperate situation that they had been living, that thanksgiving would be instantaneous and profuse. But only one of them returns to give thanks. And there's something else notable about this man. Jesus refers to him as a foreigner. The text tells us that he was a Samaritan. He was from a people group who were despised by the Jews. A couple of really interesting points. First, one would think that if your life had been radically changed and your greatest prayer had been answered, serious thanksgiving would automatically follow. And here's a point I want you to take with you today. Blessings, gifts, and miracles, no matter how big or how significant they may be, do not always result in serious thanksgiving. Your personal commitment to the giving of thanks is not automatically proportional to the amount of blessings and benefits God has allowed in your life. I can attest from personal experience and spending a considerable amount of time in Haiti and listening to people and going to church with them and worshiping with them that they're audible thanksgiving is just, on an average basis, just as proficient, just as commonplace as anybody in our privileged North America. They are just thankful for what they have, not because it's all that big, but because it's God, and they understand where it came from. Being a truly thankful believer is not tied to the magnitude of blessings. It's tied to your determination to be the person of thanksgiving that God is calling you to be in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Point number two from this story is the blatant lack of thanksgiving that we see in the 9 lepers came from the Lord's own people. See the contrast here? The one man, the Samaritan, the one that the perception was outside of God's family, was the one who immediately came back and gave thanks, praising God. God's own people, the 9 from God's own people, disappeared, did not return. Perhaps it seems like a trivial point that Luke would point out that the thankful leper was the foreigner, the Samaritan. But I believe that this was not accidental or trivial. I believe that it's a deliberate point that the Lord was making for us. And the point is that while God's people should be the most thankful people on earth, that, unfortunately, is not always the case. And if we were to just extrapolate the math from this story, we might conclude that 90% of us have a way to go when it comes to the giving of thanks. So yes, important conclusions we draw from this account. Thanksgiving is not automatic, not spontaneous. And you know, on the other hand, there are people that certainly seems to be. And maybe you're like me and we've met some believers from time to time who are often expressing things, thanks for many things in their lives, including the spiritual blessings they have in Christ. Just thankful people, and they're a pleasure to be around. And they certainly come close to the command found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The word is clear. We are called to be a thankful people. We know from the story that regardless of how significant the blessings are, a spirit of thankfulness does not necessarily follow. So if this is our call, if this is the command that we've been given, and if there are lots of examples to prove it's not automatic, then how are we ever going to be faithful to that call? And I would suggest to you that the answer rests in the word discipline. Oh, that's a nasty word. Today we take time to observe communion. We deliberately plan for a time to pause to remember and be thankful for the death and resurrection of our Lord. But we plan for a time when we corporately get together as a church to do that. Certainly, these are the biggest spiritual blessings we as Christians enjoy. Surely Thanksgiving would be automatic. But it's interesting that even Jesus brought some discipline to the remembrance. He tied the observance to each time the disciples would meet together to break bread, which was at least once a week. And so we as a church have kind of patterned after that. We bring some discipline to the corporate observing of the Lord's death by planning for it and scheduling it on our calendar. But it would be most unfortunate if we fail to remember his death and resurrection except on one Sunday a month. And as we think about that, would we dare for a moment to think about how often we would remember communion personally if it were not on our church schedule? And even more challenging, perhaps, if you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, were to examine the evidence for being a thankful person, would we find some work to do? So just as we wrap up today and transition to communion, I want to give you what you might consider to be some weird tips, just a few. And there's certainly not an exhaustive list. Just a few small tips. Would I dare use the word disciplinary tips? Just to help you in your quest to be a thankful person. First of all, excuse me, make sure Thanksgiving for the birth, death, and resurrection of the Lord is offered every day. And I would say integrate it into your daily prayers. I've done that for some time now. Open my prayers with saying, thank you, Lord, for your death. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed. Thank you, Lord, for the cross and what it means to me as a believer. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of sins forgiven. Thank you for the joy of sins forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for coming, being willing to live among us and to take my penalty. Secondly, we often pray for people, for our loved ones, etc. Can I suggest, before praying for people, that you thank the Lord for them? Think about that for a minute. Maybe there's situations and circumstances in our lives where we run into people that are dressed in sandpaper, and they tend to grade our personalities. It's not that difficult to pray for them if they're going through a difficult time. Challenge yourself by thanking the Lord for the people in your circle of friends and acquaintances. And thirdly, before praying for today and tomorrow, thank the Lord for yesterday, each situation and circumstance. It really is God's will for you. How many had a great day yesterday? So, not quite. I had a great day. I had a great day. Things just seemed to go swimmingly well, no matter what I decided to do. I even unclogged my inkjet printer, something that you're not supposed to be able to do. Mind you, I had to send my wife into the drugstore to get me a hypodermic needle, which tends to raise some questions. But she was kind enough to do that. But anyway, things went really well, and I thank the Lord for that. There's also days when things don't go so well, and I would admit that there are times when I fail to look back and say, Lord, I'm not sure what that was all about. How could I have handled it better? But thank you, Lord, that you're teaching me and training me and bringing some discipline into my life. And so as we celebrate Thanksgiving this weekend, may we remember that the giving of thanks is important. The word Thanksgiving is mentioned 17 times in the ESV translation of just the New Testament. 17 times. Got to be important. So yes, it's important that we are thankful for the Lord's death and we remember it corporately as a church as we are doing today. But it is also important that we be thankful for the many blessings, both spiritual and material, that we Canadians enjoy. And not just thankful this weekend, but in the days and weeks ahead, implementing whatever personal disciplines we may need to find ourselves making progress in our Lord's command and his challenge for us to be thankful people. Thank you, Lord, for the many, many, many blessings that you have given. And as we turn to our communion service, may it remind us of the great, awesome gifts that you have given us. May it remind us of the price you were willing to pay. The price you were willing to pay so that everyone could realize that you were not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to know you as their Savior. And that would be our prayer today, that all of us would realize the great price that was paid. All of us would ask forgiveness, would find that assurance of eternal life, of sins forgiven. And if there happened to be someone here today that has not done so, may this be the very day that they would. Thank you, Lord, for your life-changing ability. Thank you for the blood that will never lose its power.